Guys, let me just get situated here. Got too many things. How are you guys doing? Good. Summer going okay? Yeah. When I was a kid, I spent all my days at the beach during the summer, but somehow I don't get to do that anymore at this point. I guess I'm retired, so I guess I should be able to go to the beach every day if I want to. Yeah, so I'm going to give credit where credit is due. When we were going through the Malachi series, Evangeline spoke about arrogance. Do you guys remember that? And I thought, okay, in Bible, what's the opposite of being arrogant? And I think at least one word to describe it would be humble. Humble. And so I want to preach today, maybe a subject you don't hear that often, on humility. And this is a little difficult when you do this because it somehow implies that I'm very humble. But I don't mean it like that. It's something we're all kind of moving toward, and God is. So a lot of times I'll see a young person that's full of vim and vinegar, and a little bit full of themselves. And he's like, why don't you correct him? Why don't you, you know, to set him straight? I go, don't worry, life will. Because we're all going to go through hard things in life, and those things tend to humble us. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. If you have a Bible or a device or anything, it's going to come up on the board. I preached here three times before I actually realized the words were on the back wall there. I was fumbling with my Bible. Yeah, let's get that out. Let me ask you a question. Don't scream this out, okay? Just answer it within your own self. Are you a humble person? Are you a humble person? And then it leads us to the next question, which I think Paul will address in this, is what does it mean to be a humble person? I'll tell you one story. My wife, I'm not going to tell a story about you. I'm going to tell a story about me. When I went to Fuller Theological Seminary, did any of you guys know that? It's in Pasadena. And when I graduated, I was going to be ordained, and I actually did get ordained in the Reformed Church in America, which is the old Dutch Reformed Church, which probably not that many of you know about, but you would. So what they did is you had to go around to all the different professors, and each department head would be able to give you an oral exam, and if you didn't do it, he could assign you more work. Well, I did good in all the academic ones. Then I got to this one kind of a little bit more progressive liberal woman. She didn't like me at all. I could tell right from the beginning. So I thought, I'm in trouble. And then they sent me to the psychologist. I've been sent to the psychologist several times in my life, just to be fully honest. But I was there in second grade. If that's hard to do. It's hard to be a second grader. But anyway, so I got to the head of the psych department. And we did all this testing and everything. At the end, this is what he says to me. He goes, you have a dangerously high ego. I thought, what the heck does that mean, you know? But as I said, life has worked that out of me, you know, over time. Okay, let's forget my stories and let's go to the Bible here. See, as you get older, stuff multiplies. Now I got glasses, I got this, I got. Yeah. All right, let's you got your device out? Let me see if this is the same one. Yeah. Okay, let's just read verse 1. And I'll say to you, just so you kind of have an idea what you're reading, I think what Paul is laying out is this is the realities that your life is based upon as a Christian. So these are important phrases that he's going to give us here. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with, Oh, you guys are going to read with me? All right. Sorry you threw me off. I'm like, well, I hear an echo. All right, let's try it again then. We'll do it all together. Go. Therefore, if you, from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any compassion, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same spirit. Okay, we just established that you're better at this than I am. Okay, just verse 1 for a minute, and then we're going to move on to this topic. But he's saying to them, in essence, if you've experienced these realities, then you're in position to be humble. If you know that you're one in Christ, united in Christ, if you know that you are loved by him, he says, if you have any comfort in his love. Do you have any comfort in his love? He says, if you have any comfort from his love, if you have any common share in the Spirit. Now, I think Paul is assuming that these realities are true of the Philippian church. I think, as I said before, I've preached out of this book before here, I believe this is one of his favorite churches, if not his favorite church. And, you know, we've been coming here now for the last year or so, and you guys have become, like, my favorite vineyard. No, we love you guys. I'm not kidding. I pray for you guys all the time. I hope you pray for us as we journey around trying to figure out what it means to be a father in the movement and an elder. But he's saying these realities of, you know, that should bring you encouragement, comfort from his love, if any comfort in his sharing of his Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. He's saying, if in Jesus, if by the Holy Spirit you've experienced these things, you're in position to be a humble person, a humble church. And that's very important, and I'll give away my punchline here, and I'll come back to it again probably later. This probably sounds familiar to you out of James. God resists, it says, the arrogant, the prideful. God resists that. He gives, this is a really, if you could just take this one thing in today, that'd be great. He gives grace to the humble. So that's important, right? If God supplies us grace, as we humble ourselves. And what we're going to find out in this passage is that you can choose to do this. You can choose to humble yourself. You can choose arrogance. Arrogance and pride are basically saying, I know better. I'm going to do life on my own terms. That's not the Christian way. The Christian way is Jesus knows better, and I'm going to follow him to the best of my ability. Does that make sense? All right, let's read on. He says, if this happens, this is like a proud papa talking here, right? It's like, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit, and of one mind. In other words, they're all same direction, every single one of them. And then he says this, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Now, let me say this, there is a godly ambition. Okay, not all ambition is necessarily bad or I think most people that do a lot for the kingdom have a godly ambition about them. They want to see some things done. They want to see their church become what it's supposed to be. They want to see the movement become what it's supposed to be. They want to see the whole church become, because that would be revival, right? That would be revival. We don't always live in that reality, but it is what God wants. So he says, don't do anything for selfish ambition or vain conceit. That's a horrible word, right? Vain, two words. Vain conceit. He says, rather, in humility, here's a big phrase, value others above yourself. Anybody think that might be hard? We're kind of by nature self-centered, aren't we? I mean, you know, when I come and I'm with you guys, I'm, you know, trying to be otherly. I'm trying to be a servant. I'm trying to be a loving person. But honestly, when I drive away from here, sometimes my thought pattern will be, like, so-and-so didn't treat me nicely, or so-and-so said this to me. I wish they hadn't said that. You know, that's all internal at this point for me. Or maybe I'll talk about these things with Cheryl. But all of us tend to be selfish, but we can choose a different way. The way that Jesus described the different way is, rather than being self-serving, you become a servant. And that's something you can choose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. I realized later, after I started using this word, I thought I had made it up, but it's actually a word. It's the word otherly. Do you know that word? Do you know what otherly means? Otherly means you're focused on other people at least as much as you are focused on yourself. That's a test, by the way, of your spiritual maturity. If you're spending all your time just thinking about you and your situation and you alone, that's not maturity. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you, care about you, he does. But he wants us to grow up and out of that. And eventually, he wants all of us to become mothers and fathers and grandparents in the faith. When you're a grandfather or a father in the faith, it's not so important what happens to you all the time and who just insulted you or who just did this or whatever. What's important is the success of the children. Hello? What's important in this church, in this transition over this next year, is what happens to the children. And by children, I don't mean just the babies and the elementary school. I mean all of us. When I first came to Anaheim, now they had a lot of history with a lot of people and a lot of famous people and everything. The first word that the Lord gave me was he wanted to, for the people that had been around a while, he wanted them to be fathers and mothers in the faith. If you were a father and mother in the faith, you'd be oriented toward helping other people. The word the Lord gave me when I was here is that word parakletos. Parakletos means that somebody comes alongside to help. So when we came here, it was because we felt led to come here. But I knew that my job in very various different ways was going to be to come alongside and help. I'm not going to be the main leader here. I'm going to be the one that comes alongside and helps. Because part of being a father for me has always been, I've always been a pastor to pastors. So you see that attitude. I have a whole bunch of Robert Schuller quotes in my head from years and years. Does anybody even know who Robert Schuller is at this point? Some of you, five of you do. That's good. It's a kind of a couple generations back. But he used to have all these little sayings about our attitude. And one of the things he would say was, our attitude determines our altitude. That's actually a good phrase. It's kind of corny. Most of his were. But you notice 30 years later, I remember that quote, right? Your attitude is determining your altitude. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking, here's the phrase, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Now, verse 5 and on, is an ancient hymn, they think. It's an ancient hymn. It was something they sang all the time. It's the very most heart and basics of who Jesus is. But and here, I'm sure you guys get this. The Christian life is nothing less or more than following Jesus. Got that? It's nothing more or less than that. And so the New Testament keeps holding up Jesus and saying, look at what he did. He's the one that tied the towel around his waist and then got down and washed the smelly feet of the disciples. Even though he was God, he became a servant, even unto death. If your relationships, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset, that's a good word, mindset. What's your mindset? Your mindset as Christ Jesus. He says, who being in very nature God, that's who Jesus is, right? Second person of the Trinity. Being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be, I like a better, another translation, something grasped, to be grasped onto. He says, do not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. That's an amazing statement. Jesus, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, humble people are servants. Got that? Whatever the context that God has you in right now, whether you have little kids right now, whether you have an important job or whatever it is, all of it is to be oriented in humility towards serving. By taking the very nature of servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now listen to this, because this turns it over here. He says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place. Why? Well, that was the plan all along, you could say, in a way. But another way, it's because he humbled himself, God exalted him. If you want to be exalted in a good way, a godly way, you have to humble yourself. And you have to submit yourself to whatever regimen God allows you to go through in the course of your Christian life so that you might get where he wants you to get. Where he wants you to get is he wants you to be more like Jesus. So we're all in some way in a process here, right? I mean, I became a Christian, I think it's 47 years ago right now. The whole thing's been a process, right? Has it been for you? What you need to know is he's making you to be a servant. He's making you to be one of the humble ones that is willing to bow down and serve, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in likeness, being found in appearance as a man. In verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, I think I might have mentioned this before, but the initial confession of the church was not Jesus' Savior, it was Jesus' Lord. Not that they believed Jesus was Savior, of course, and that's important. So let me ask you again, in light of what Jesus did, are you humble? Am I humble? I would say I'm in process, and God has his ways, And sometimes it's honestly very difficult things that happen to us. He has his ways of getting us where he wants us to be. What if just a group this size really became like Jesus in their attitude, in your attitude, in how you relate to each other? Because this is not only a vertical reality, it's a reality between us. Are we acting humbly? Like, am I actually acting like my wife is more important than myself? That's a big deal. I think in the end, one of the ways our lives will be evaluated, and God will be gracious in all this, thank God. Did Lance get it? Did Lance get it? Did Lance finally understood that this isn't just all about him? Because leaders can really do that. This. Leaders can make the whole thing about them. And people will sometimes gladly follow that. But that's not a godly man or a godly woman. Yeah, I've, you know, because I've been around leadership for a long time, I've had senior leaders of very big churches, consequential churches, say to me, basically, I don't like my people. I'm like, dude, you kind of missed the whole point of this thing. You know, and so, you know, in the context of what they were saying, I kind of got what they were saying. But if you want to walk the Jesus walk, if you want to walk the way, you have to learn to be a humble servant that's willing to serve in whatever God, in whatever ways God has given to you. Now, I didn't even get to my notes yet. We got probably 2 hours, 3 hours left. Please don't bring it for the next 2.5 hours and 3 hours. Okay, so let me just kind of run through this quickly, just make a couple of comments. You get the bit about the realities. Like, if these things aren't real in your life, it's going to be hard for you to be a servant. If you know that I am one with you, I'm going to be willing to serve you and love you and care for you. And I would expect that the greatest churches, by the way, are churches that people are humble and people serve one another. And God has given you, each of you, a specific thing to give away to the rest of the people. You just need to exercise those things. And that living humbly is just a pretty simple thing. It's putting others first above yourself. The same mindset that Jesus had. Remember, your mindset will determine your altitude. So I'm going to skip over to what James said, and I'll finish with this. God, get this in your brain. God opposes the proud. Who are the proud? The proud are the people that think more highly of themselves. You know lots of them. They think more highly of themselves than they ought to. And he says he gives grace to the humble. And I'll tell you one story and then I'm done. I didn't come from a Christian background. Didn't grow up in a Christian home. Did not grow up in the church. On the weekends when I was by myself, I would have these things that I called dates with God. I didn't know language like devotional life, or didn't even know prayer language really, but I would have these dates with God. Sometimes they'd last 2 or 3 hours. I'd just be reading the Bible and talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden out of my mouth, I'm sitting at my mom's kitchen table in Malibu, and I say to the Lord, wherever you want me to go, that's where I want to go. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And whoever you want me to be, I wasn't married at the time, I want to be with that person. So I said that, probably took, you know, a minute to say that. Years and years later, I'm in a really, really hard place. Probably many of you have been in a really hard place at some point in your journey with the Lord. And I'm praying, and the Lord takes me back almost like I could see it perfectly in my mind's eye to that kitchen table. And the Lord said to me, I took you seriously. And, you know, I'm weeping there, and I'm kind of a mess. I took you seriously. Like, those commitments you made, those were things that I took seriously. So for whatever reason, I attribute it to the Spirit's leading. He led me to that place, and I laid down my life. So that's now 40, going on 50 years ago. And it's not important, obviously, that you have a mom's kitchen table, you know, we don't make it into something. But what is really important is, have you ever, and I'm going to use an old word that not many people like anymore, have you submitted yourself completely to Jesus? That's what's important. Could you pray that same prayer? Not that the words of that prayer mean anything. Lord, I'm going to go wherever you want me to go. Now, he may just have you go around the block. You know, that's up to him. Lord, take me where you want to take me. Do with me what you want to do with me. Put me with the people you want me to put me with. You get the point. Are you a humble person? If you're a humble person, you're a submitted person. If you're a submitted person, you're somebody that aims toward obeying. We won't always get it right. We'll make mistakes. God bakes all that into the mix. But have you had your moment? Knowing that God, when we make our little prayers, sometimes we think, oh, God didn't even hear that hardly. I just go on. But no. When your heart cries out and says, Lord, I want to be a humble man. I want to be a humble woman. I guarantee he takes that seriously. And he'll take you through the process of becoming that humble man, which looks just like Jesus, if you'll sign on. Say, oh, Lance, I've been a Christian forever. I'm not questioning that. But I'm saying that if you want all the grace in your life that God wants to bring to you and through you, God gives grace to who? The humble. God gives grace to the humble and resist the proud. I'd much rather be in the first category. I want to be grace-filled. How about you? Let's stand. Go, sorry. I've noticed